a little time. A piece from the east, a piece from the west. But the way it feels good that the two of the rest.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
I don't know what I'm doing here today. I'm still sick, y'all, so I can take advantage of that. Oh, hold on. Okay. Can you see me now? All right. Yeah, it's gully in here. I got to hit, like, multiple buttons. Okay, here's the point I want to make. You can't... I understand what Libby is trying to do, but you can't send people to school to become innovative. Now, I talk about this in my book on entrepreneurship. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to better educate their... They're trying to make professionals out of people that have been primarily public servants, military officials, bureaucrats. Oh, this is Sean Kingston. Hold on. This is Wrap You Around Me, real positive song. But you can't send people to school for innovation. You have to have competition in the ranks. You have to allow a forum, more freedom of interaction between people in the society. You do what Libya is doing is they're bringing in ideas from abroad, which will cause a unique reaction with the indigenous culture. That's very important. I love that. But you can't send people away to become innovative. Of course, the London School of Economics is going to take their money. But Francis Terry says they are seeking agents of change. Well, the agents of change in Libya are already in the country. But they need more avenues of expression. So she says they were clear, gave us a clear brief as to what they wanted. Innovation, leadership, and learning from the best international practice. Although largely decentralized, Libya's civil service is creaking. By using the brightest people from the public and private sectors as torchbearers of reform, it hopes to accelerate changes and improve its international profile. Our plan is to put roughly 400 people through the course in groups of 30 to 35 as fast as possible, says NEDB's Khalid Ajil, who coordinates the selection of participants. We want them to work in different groups and to think outside their normal routines. By mixing public and private sector managers, men and women, we're achieving that. Professor Terry was surprised by the caliber of participants. They are articulate, worldly wise, and intelligently aware of different cultures. In these exchanges, surprises often cut both ways. Julia Singh, the course's co-director, believes some students were initially taken aback by the program. I think they were expecting us to tell them that this was how it should be done, whereas we've approached matters analytically. We've encouraged them to define the problems and show them possible solutions. We always relate these to the Libyan context. I understand the approach, taking the best and the brightest and giving them training. I believe in that. But I also believe that change can't be controlled. And you can't formally educate people to take risks. Their life circumstance. Hold on, let me promote my book. Volume 3 of my forthcoming book, The Entrepreneurial Secret, I talk about the personal struggle and how suffering causes people to innovate. I do think entrepreneurship can be taught in some ways, but I think the decision-making process and the willpower that you have to develop cannot be formally taught like reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's why suffering, out of the four ways that we learn, five ways, revelation, conversation, observation, reading, and experience. Experience is the most painful, and it teaches the deepest lessons. So suffering is a form of education. And I go through this in my book. When people lose status, when they become immobile after they've been mobile, if they become mobile after they've been immobile, this causes them to think and change the way that they do things, adjust their patterns, and bet on new ideas. So some of what Libya wants cannot be accomplished by formal education. It can only be accomplished by probably greater freedom and equality in the society. And I will say something about that. freedom just don't mean letting people do whatever the hell they want. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that you could not enjoy freedom and equality if you did not have justice. So justice is what makes it have balance. Send in your comments. Sean Kingston has become less of a priority. Let me give you some more, Brother Gaddafi.
Seriously, for the discardment of the proliferation of nuclear weapons, and we upload that, and America cannot solve the problem alone, and the whole world should come together to solve them. And he said that the position we are at now, we should not continue. Now we are meat and making a speech. It should not be like that. We accept it. We applaud it. And then he said, the United Nations also, we are come here to United Nations to talk against each other. It's true that we come here, we should have equal footing and equal unions and equal associations. And then, and he says that democracy, we should not be imposed from outside. Till the recent days, the American president till recently says that we should impose democracy against Iraq and against so and so and so. He did say that this is an internal affairs of everybody. This was lost words, and what we hear right now is the true sense of the word when he said that democracy cannot be imposed from outside.
He's saying he agrees with President Obama's statement in his speech at the UN General Assembly that you cannot impose democracy from abroad. It has to take in accordance with the culture of that country.
So we have to be cautious. And before I just say my sensitive remark, or the whole world has so many policies. World of so many polis. It should be like that. Should we have so many polis? Can't we nations on equal footing? Can't be equals? Let's have an answer. Anyone have an answer that it is better to have a world of so many polarities? Why can't we have equal standing? Should we have a patriarch? Should we have popes? Should we have gods? Is it necessary? Why should we have a world of so many?
There's something I want to say about what Libya is doing that I love. The song is called Over, if you haven't figured it out yet. Sean Kingston. What Libya really needs is immigration from the diaspora, but I don't want to get into that. It's the subject of my book. They're trying to accelerate the rate of learning of certain skills in Libyan society. So they're trying to basically do something that, if it was to happen through the educational system or through higher education or through elementary school, etc., it would take generations. So they're trying to set up these kind of like training units that would accelerate the learning, compress it. The quicker way to do it would be to give dual citizenship to some of us in a carefully developed scenario. But the people that would go to Libya from America would have to be reformed and trained to respect the culture, etc. I don't want to get... Wait till January. My book on Africa comes out then. But what they're doing, they're trying to do the right thing. Gaddafi is the man.
We do not accept that world living not equal, big and small. The other point that is sensitive, the quarters of the United Nations. Please, can I have your attention?
Okay, hold on, Brother Gaddafi. Let me read this. Reggie from Chicago says, "Greetings, Cedric. President Obama needs to learn how to be more assertive like Medvedev and Putin. And I enjoy Michael Moore's films, but this quote by Whitney Young can be directed at him. Quote, liberalism seems to be related to the distance people are from the problem. Again, liberalism, Whitney Young said, seems to be related to the distance people are from the problem. I look forward to reading your book. Great show as usual. Guidance and protection. Thank you, Reggie. Trent from Asbury Park, New Jersey. He says, Cedric, teach on the value of lifting other people up who are worthy of it. Teach on being sincerely happy when someone other than yourself is blessed with a gift. It is very important that we have to learn this lesson. Very important. Your plate is full. I am happy for you. Remember, all blessings come from above. So be happy when God bestows gifts on others, or else you will be on the wrong side of God. Teach, Trent. Look like something from a magazine. She's such a beauty queen. Oh, man. Ricardo from Union City, Georgia. He says, I want to say peace, Cedric. I'm catching the show live after a long time of listening to archives. I usually have to listen to the archives. Did you get in that storm out there, Ricardo? Are you near Atlanta? Is Union City near Atlanta? Were you caught in the rain? Volume 3 of my book deals with the personal struggle. It's just certain things you can't be taught formally or can't be developed in you formally. You can be in a training unit or a training process that inculcates or brings out certain things, but not formal education like the London School of Economics. Now, I go deep into that. You're going to take a while to get through Volume 3 because I loaded it up on suffering, willpower, and the effect that entrepreneurship has on your closest relationships. Okay, let me reveal who Sean Kingston reminds me of. Let me give you a little bit of Brother Gaddafi commercial, and then I'll be ready to go.
Please, can I have your attention? All of you came across the Atlantic, crossing the Atlantic Oceans, the Asian continent, or the African continent, to reach this place. Why? Is this the Jerusalem? Is this the Vatican? Is this Mecca? All of you are tired, having jet lag, suffering from jet lag, tired, had sleepless night, and very tired, and physically speaking, you are very low. One just arrived now, flying 20 hours.
Gaddafi's the man. What he's saying is, this is the stupidest thing. I'm paraphrasing. I'm the interpreter for the hood. What Brother Gaddafi just said is, this is the stupidest thing in the world. Why are we coming to America to have this summit? And listen to the reasons he gives. So he's already touching on jet lag. Man, this man is practical.
And then you want him to make a speech and talk about this one. All of you are asleep. All of you are tired. It is clear that all of you are lacking the energy because of...
The leader, Muammar Gaddafi, is the gangster of the week. Revolutionary gangster of the week. He is literally talking about people showing up tired after a 21-hour flight, having to speak. This is the most practical speech we've heard at the UN General Assembly.
Having to travel a long journey. Why do we that? Your country now, some of our countries are nighttime and they are asleep. And now you should be asleep because your biological hour or your biological mind is accustomed to be asleep at this time.
Is this gangster or what? Muammar Gaddafi saying you cannot even function properly. You cannot even hear the words of wisdom that I'm dropping on you right now because you have jet lag. I've never heard nothing like this before. I want comments on this. We'll get to Sean Kingston in a minute. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to let Brother Gaddafi finish. This is nonsense. He has another even more powerful reason why they should not have this meeting in the United States. This man is not rambling. These are practical truths that you can use.
I wake up 4 o'clock at New York time before dawn because in Libya it is 11 o'clock in the morning. Because when I wake up at 11 o'clock, I'm supposed to be late. At 4 o'clock, I'm awake. Why do you think, why don't you think why? Think about it. If this was put in 45, should we keep it up to now? Why can't we think about a place that isn't comfortable? The other point. America, the hosting country that bears the the expenses and the looking after the headquarters and the looking after the peace and security of heads of state who come here very strict, and they spend a lot of money, and New York and the whole of America being very tight. I want to relieve America from this hardship. We should thank America, and we say to America, thank you for all the trouble that incurred upon itself. And we say thank you to America, we want to help America, we want to make America secure, New York secure, and we should not have the responsibility of looking after the security. Perhaps somebody would do any terrorist will...
What Muammar Gaddafi, the great leader of Libya, is saying is I want to relieve America of her burden. You all have expenses, you have security threats. Why would you want this UN General Assembly in America, New York City? I think this is a practical suggestion that Brother Gaddafi is making. I want to relieve America of her burden, he says, of your hardship.
Make an explosion or a bomb of an aircraft, a president or a Moroccan. And then this place is a target targeted by the Al-Qaeda, this very same place, the same building. And if it was, and why? Because on the 11th of September they did not hit it, that was beyond their power. And the next target, that would be, and I'm not saying this out of the record, that we have tens of members of the Qaeda being detained in the Libyan prisons, and out of their confessions, very scary. And this makes America lives in under tension, and perhaps you never know what will happen. Perhaps America will be targeted again by a rocket, or by perhaps tens of head of state may die. We want America to relieve America from this worry, and we shall take the place to a place where it is not targeted. Now,
September 23rd, 2009. Yup, Sean Kingston, you just the second coming to this. Yup. Got that young audience, the diaspora behind you. I actually passed up Grandmaster Flash for this group. I was in a PX in Germany, and I could have bought the Grandmaster Flash album, Furious Five. This was 1982. I said, no, give me this, Musical Youth.
Shedrick Muhammad transforms into DJ C. Nice. Only on the Shedrick Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Chip on the left hand side, pop the dutch chip on the left hand side. It a go bun,
give me the music, make me jump and
bun. It a go dun,
give me the music, make me jump and
bun. We have a cool and lovely breezy afternoon.
How does it feel when you got no food?
I used to feel it 'cause it was the month of.
How does it feel when you got no food?
So I left my gate and went out for a walk.
How does it feel when you got no food?
Chip on the left hand side, pop it up. Chip on the left hand side, it a go bun.
Give me the music, make me jump and
bun. I mean, I'm not off base, right? This is the market. Young teenagers all over selling records in Kingston, London. Little Vicious was about to sign the Wu-Tang management. We were talking to him and his mother. We never pulled the trigger. This is a big market.
Was there in swing.
How does it feel when you got no food?
I used to feel the chill as I seen and heard them sing.
How does it feel when you got no food?
Shedrick Muhammad transforms into DJ C. Nice, only on the Shedrick Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Yeah.
Give me little music, make me wind up me music.
Pop the dutch chip on the left hand side. Pop the dutch chip on the left hand side.
Trent says that Brother Gaddafi is a scientist. And he's actually breaking down the best time to learn. My sixth grade teacher taught us reading is the first subject he taught because we were almost or most alert first thing in the morning.
That's true.
For the Gaddafi teaching hard.
Cedric Muhammad transforms into DJ C Nice only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
I want to make a point about learning. Volume 3 of my book is on the personal struggle, and I talk about the enormous amount of insight that comes from suffering. I use the scriptures. I use Karl Marx. I use psychology, psychiatry. I thought of this song to make a point. This is called Gypsy. If you want to look at the lyrics and what's behind the song, it may be of value to you. I have found a new Caucasian female to take us out. I'm going to let Stevie Nicks take us out. But let me read what she says about why they wrote this song, why she wrote it. 1980, I believe it came out. It was not really until 2009. Entertainment Weekly asked her why she wrote it. What was the inspiration? She says, oh boy. I've never really spoken about this. She says, so okay, in the old days before Fleetwood Mac, Lindsey Buckingham and I had no money. So we had a king-size mattress, but we still had it on the floor. I had old vintage coverlets on it, and even though we had no money, it was still really pretty. Just that and a lamp on the floor, and that was it. But there was a certain calmness about it. To this day, when I'm feeling cluttered, I will take my mattress off of my beautiful bed, wherever that may be, and put it outside of my bedroom with a table and a little lamp. What is it about your lowest moment or your point of suffering or great loss that causes you to find a peace and calm, creative thoughts, hunches, aha, eureka moments? I write about this in my book. I have a whole volume that deals with this. And this is why I'm saying the Libyan people already have experienced what they need. They just need the right contact, not only with the information from the West, but people. A certain kind of people with a certain kind of knowledge would actually ignite something in Libya and in that group. It's going to be people coming from here. The diaspora. All right. Listen closely. Get the lyrics for Gypsy, but that's what happened. We'll talk about that. 50 Cent identifies closely with his years of suffering because of this.
Sober, stimulating, hot. It's the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Freedom.
Coffee Channel, home of the Shedrick Muhammad and Black Coffee Radio Program.
I love y'all. See y'all next week. Send me comments. Inshallah. Be back. October 7th, my book comes out.
Stay tuned to the Black Coffee Channel, home of the Shedrick Muhammad and Black Coffee Radio Program.